They fucking heard them, like, these cunts. But they never fucking says nout again. The plucky cunt and the so-called hard cunt. And it would have been two against two, cos you can't second prize, didn't he get us wrong? I lapped the cunt up, but he's fucking scoobied when it comes to a pagger. He's pished out his fucking head, and he can hardly hud the fucking pool cue. This is fucking 11:30 on a Wednesday morning we're talking about here. So, it would have been fucking square goals. But, they cunt says fuck all. I never fucking rated the plucky cunt, but I was fucking disappointed in the hard cunt, or the so-called hard cunt, like. He wasn't a fucking hard man. A fucking shiting cunt, if the truth be told, Ken. Big fucking disappointment to me, the cunt, I can tell you.
Chapter 12. Cock Problems. It's fucking grotesque trying to find an inlet. Yesterday, I had to shoot into my cock, where the most prominent vein in my body is. I didn't want to get into that habit. As difficult as it is to conceive it at the moment, I may yet find other uses for the organ, besides pishing. Now the doorbell's going. Fucking hell. That bastard shite-arsed fuck-up of a landlord, Baxter's son. Old Baxter, God rest the diddy cunt soul, never really bothered about the rent check. Senile old wanker. Whenever he came round, I was charm personified to the old cunt. I'd take off his jacket, sit him down, and gear him a canny export. We'd talk about the horses and the Hibs team of the 50s with the famous five forward liney, Smith, Johnson, Riley, Turnbull and Ormond. I knew nout about horses and Hibs in the 50s, but as they were old Baxter's only talking points, I became well versed in both subjects. Then I'd rifle through the old gadget's jacket pockets and help myself to some cash. He always carried a massive wad around with him. Then I'd either pay him his own cash or tell the poor bastard that I'd already squared the cunt up. We even used to phone up the old gadget if we were a bit short. Like when Spud and Sick Boy crashed here, we'd tell him a tap was leaking or windy was broken. Sometimes we'd even break the windy ourselves, like when Sick Boy threw the old black and white telly through it, and get the docile cunt to come round so we could rifle him. There was a fucking fortune in that cunt's pockets. It got so as that I was feared not to rip him off in case some fucker mugged him. Now old Baxter has gone to the great gig in the sky, replaced by his hospice-humoured bastardy a son, a cunt who expects rent for this dive. Rent! Somebody's shouting through the letterbox. Rents! It's not the landlord, it's Tommy. What the fuck does that cunt want at this time? Hold on, Tommy, just come in. I shoot into my knob for the second consecutive day. As the needle goes in, it looks like a horrible experiment being conducted on an ugly sea snake. The gig is getting sicker by the minute. The rush wastes nae time in racing to my box. I get a magic high, then think I'm going to puke. I underestimated how pure this shite was and took a wee bit too much in that shot. I take a deep breath and get it together. I feel as if a thin stream of air is coming into my body for a bullet hole in my back. This is not an OD situation. Calm down. Keep that old respirator going. Easy does it. This is nice. I staggered to my feet and let Tommy in. That wasn't easy. Tommy looks offensively fit. Mallorca tan still intact, hair sun-bleached, cut short and gelled back. Gold stud and hoop in one ear. Mellow sky-blue eyes. It has to be said that Tommy's a fairly handsome cunt with a tan. It brings out the best in him. Handsome, easygoing, intelligent and pretty tidy in a swedge. Tommy should make you jealous, but somehow he doesn't. This is probably because Tommy doesn't have the self-confidence to recognise and make the maisties qualities, nor the vanity to be a pain in the arse about them to every other cunt. Split up with Lizzie, he tells us. It's hard to work out whether congratulations or commiserations are in order. Lizzie is a shag extraordinaire, but has a tongue like a sailor and a castrating stare. I think Tommy's still trying to sort out his feelings. I can tell that he's deep in thought, because he hasn't tell us what a daft cunt I am to be using. Hasn't he even mentioned the state I'm in? I struggle to show concern through my self-centred smack apathy. The outside world means fuck all to us. Pished off about it, I ask. Then he can. If I'm being honest, I'll miss the sex maist. That and, like, just having somebody can. Tommy needs people a lot more than maist. My enduring memory, Lizzie, is for the school. Me, Begbie and Gary McVie were lying in the links at the bottom of the running track, away for the beady eyes of that bastard Valance, the housemaster, a Nazi cunt of the highest order. We took up that position so as we could see the lassies race in their shorts and blouses and accumulate some decent wanking material. Lizzie put up a game race, but finished second to the lanky strides of Big Morag Jamrag Henderson. We were lying on our stomachs, heads propped up on elbows and hands, watching Lizzie struggle along with the expression of vicious determination which characterised everything she did. Everything? Once Tommy's over his loss, I'll ask him about the sex. No, I winnie. Aye, I will. Anyway, I hears this heavy breathing and turns to notice Begbie slowly swivelling his hips, staring at the lassies gone. That wee Lizzie McIntosh, total wee ride, fucking shag the arse off of that any day of the week. The fucking arse on it. The fucking tits on it. Then he lets his face fall down onto the turf. I wasn't as wary of Begbie then as I am now. He wasn't the main man in the 80s, just another contender, and he was also a bit shy of my bra or Billy at the time. To some extent, in fact, to every extent, I cynically lived off Billy's reputation, being a closet sap. Anyway, I pulled Begbie Hour onto his back, exposing his spunk-dripping, earth-dirty knob. The cunt had surreptitiously dug a hole in the soft turf with his flick knife and had been fucking the field. I was pishing myself. Begbie was an awe. The cunt was lighter in the 80s before he started to believe in his ain and, it must be said, oor propaganda about him being a total psychopath. "You dirty cunt, Franco," Gary says. Begbie pits his knob away, zips up, then grabs a hand face, spunk and earth, and rubs it in Gary's face. I'm nearly ending myself as Gary goes raj, standing up and booting the soul of Begbie's trainer. Then he storms away in the cream puff. When I think about it, this is really a Begbie rather than a Lizzie story, though it was her brave performance against the jam rag that precipitated it. Anyway, when Tommy copped for Lizzie a couple of year back, Mace Cunts thought, lucky fucking bastard. Even Sick Boy has never shagged Lizzie. Amazingly, Tommy still hasn't mentioned smack, even when my work's lying all over the place, and he can probably tell that I'm pretty bombed. Normally Tommy's doing a bad impersonation of my old lady in such circumstances. You're killing yourself, pack it in, you can live your life without that garbage, and other such shite. Now he says, what does that stuff do for you, Mark? His voice is genuinely inquiring. A shrug. I didn't want to talk about this. There's cunts with degrees and diplomas at the Royal Ed in the city paid to go through all this counselling shite with us. It's done fuck all good. Tommy's persistent, though. Tell us, Mark, I want you ken. But then, when you think about it, maybe mates, we have stuck by you through thick and thin, usually fucking thin, deserve at least an attempt at an explanation if the counsellor's thought polis get one. I launch into a spiel. I feel surprisingly good, calm and clear talking about it. I don't really know, Tam, I just dinny. It kind of makes things seem mere real to us. Life's boring and futile. We start off with high hopes, then we bottle it. We realise that we're all going to die, without really finding out the big answers. We develop all the long-winded ideas which just interpret the reality of our lives in different ways, without really extending our body a worthwhile knowledge about the big things, the real things. Basically,
We live a short, disappointing life, and then we die. We fill up our lives with shite, things like careers and relationships, to delude ourselves that it isn't all totally pointless. Smack's an honest drug, because it strips away these delusions. With smack, when you feel good, you feel immortal. When you feel bad, it intensifies the shite that's already there. It's the only really honest drug. It doesn't alter your consciousness. It just gives you a hit and a sense of well-being. After that, you see the misery of the world as it is, and you can't anaesthetize yourself against it. Shite, Tommy says. Then, pure shite. He's probably right in awe. If he asked us the question last week, I'd have probably said something completely different. If he asked us the morn, it would be something else again. At this point in time, though, I'll hang with the concept that junk'll do the business when everything else seems boring and irrelevant. My problem is, whenever I sense the possibility or realise the actuality of attaining something that I thought I wanted, be it girlfriend, flat, job, education, money and so on, it just seems so dull and sterile that I can't value it anymore. Junk's different, though. You can't turn your back on it so easy. It won't let you. Trying to manage a junk problem is the ultimate challenge. It's also a fucking good kick. It's also a fucking good kick. Tommy looks at us. Gives a go. Gives a hit. Fuck off, Tommy. He says it's a good kick. I pure want to try it. You dinny. Come on, Tommy, take my word for it. This just seems to encourage the cunt mare. I've got the high risk. Come on. Cook us up a shot. Tommy. Fuck's sake, man. I'm telling you, come on. Supposed to be fucking mates, you cunt. Cook us up a shot. I can fucking handle it. One fucking shot isn't going to hurt us. Come on. A shrug and daze, Tommy requests. I deem my work's a good clean, then I cook up a light shot and help him take it. This is pure fucking brilliant, Mark. It's a fucking roller coaster ride, man. I'm fucking buzzing here. I'm just pure buzzing. His reaction is shiting us up. Some cunts are just so predisposed to skag. Later, when Tommy comes down and is ready to go, I tell him, you've done it, mate. That's you got the set now. Dope, acid, speed, E, mushies, nembies, valleys, smack the fucking lot. Knock it on the head. Make that the first and last time. I said that because I was sure the cunt was going to ask us for something to take away with him. I've no got enough to spare. I've never got enough to spare. Too fucking right, he says, flinging on his jacket. When Tommy's gone, I notice for the first time that my cock's itching like fuck. I can't scratch it, though. If I start scratching it, I'll infect the bastard. Then I've got some real problems.
Chapter 13. Traditional Sunday Breakfast. Oh my God, where the fuck am I? Where the fuck? I just don't recognise this room at all. Think, Davy, think. I can't seem to generate enough saliva to free my tongue from the roof of my mouth. What an arsehole. What a cunt. What a... Never again. Oh, fuck. No. Please, no, no, fucking no. Please. Don't let this be happening to me. Please. Surely no. Surely yes. Yes. I woke up in a strange bed in a strange room covered in my own mess. I had pitched the bed. I'd puked up in the bed. I had shat myself in the bed. My head is fucking buzzing and my guts are in a queasy turmoil. The bed is a mess, a total fucking mess. I take the bottom sheet up. then remove the duvet cover and wrap them together. The pungent, toxic cocktail in the middle. It's bundled into a secure ball with no sign of leakage. I turn the mattress over to conceal the damp patch and go to the toilet. Shower in the crap off my chest, thighs and arse. I now know where I am. Gail's mother's house. Fucking hell. Gail's mother's? How did I get here? Who brought me here? Back in the room, I see that my clothes are neatly folded. Oh, Christ. Who the fuck undressed me? Try tracing back. It's now Sunday. Yesterday was Saturday. The semi-final at Hampden. I had got myself into some fucking state before and after the match. We've no chance, I thought. You never do a Hampden against one of the old firm with a crowd and the referees firmly behind the establishment clubs. So, instead of getting worked up about it, I just decided to have a good crack and make a day of it. I don't want to think about the day I made of it. I don't even remember whether or not I actually went to the game. Got on the marksman bus at Duke Street with the Leaf boys. Tommy, Rents and their mates. Fucking headbangers. I remember fuck all after that pub in Rutherglen before the match. The space cake and the speed, the acid and the dope, but most of all the drink. The bottle of vodka that I downed before we met in the pub to get onto the bus to get back into the pub. Where Gail came into the picture, I'm not really sure. Fuck! So, I get back into the bed, the mattress and duvet seeming cold without the sheets. A few hours later, Gail knocks at the door. Gail and I have been going out together for 5 weeks, but have not yet had sex. Gail had said that she didn't want our relationship to start off on a physical basis, as that would be how it would principally be defined from then on in. She'd read this in Cosmopolitan and wanted to test the theory. So, 5 weeks on, I've got a pair of bollocks like watermelons. There's probably a fair bit of spunk alongside that piss, shite and puke. "You were in some state last night, David Mitchell," she said accusingly. Was she genuinely upset, or playing at being upset? Difficult to tell. Then, what happened to the covers? Genuinely upset. A wee accident, Gail. Well, never mind that. Come downstairs. We're just about to have breakfast. She left, and I wearily got dressed and tentatively crept down the stairs, wishing I was invisible. I take the bundle down with me, as I want to take it home and get it cleaned. Gail's parents are sitting at the kitchen table. The sounds and smells of a traditional Sunday breakfast fry-up being prepared are nauseating. My guts do a quick somersault. "Well, someone was in a state last night," Gail's ma says, but to my relief teasingly and without anger. I still flushed with embarrassment. Mr. Houston, sitting at the kitchen table, tried to smooth things over for me. "Ah, well, it does ye good to cut loose once in a while," he commented supportively. "It would do this one good to be tied up once in a while," Gail said, realising a minor faux pas as I raised my eyebrows at her, unnoticed by her parents. "A wee bit bondage would do me fine. Chance would be a fine fucking thing." "Mrs. Houston," I point to the sheets and a bundle at my feet on the kitchen floor. "I made a bit of a mess of the sheet and the duvet cover. I'm going to take them home and clean them. I'll bring them back tomorrow." "Oh, don't you worry about that, son. I'll just stick them in the washing machine. You sit down and have some breakfast." "No, but a really bad mess. I feel embarrassed enough. I'd like to take them home." "Deary dear," Mr. Houston laughed. "Now, no, you sit down, son. I'll see to them." Mrs. Houston stole across the floor towards me and made a grab for the bundle. The kitchen was her territory and she would not be denied. I pulled it to me, towards my chest, but Mrs. Houston was as fast as fuck and deceptively strong. She got a good grip and pulled against me. The sheets flew open and a pungent shower of skittery shite, thin alcohol sick and vile pish splashed out across the floor.
Mrs. Houston stood mortified for a few seconds, then ran, heaving into the sink. Brown flecks of runny shite stained Mr. Houston's glasses, face and white shirt. It sprayed across the linoleum table and his food, like he had made a mess with watery chip shop sauce. Gail had some on her yellow blouse. Jesus fuck! God's sake! God's sake! Mr. Houston repeated as Mrs. Houston balked and I made a pathetic effort to mop some of the mess back into the sheets. Gail shot me a look of loathing and disgust. I can't see our relationship developing any further now. I'll never get Gail into bed. For the first time, that doesn't bother me. I just want out of here.
Junk Dilemmas, number 65. Suddenly it's cold, very fucking cold. The candle's nearly melted down. The only real light's coming for the telly. Something black and white's on. But the telly's a black and white set, so it was bound to be something black and white. With a colour telly, it would be different. Perhaps.
It's freezing. But movement only makes you colder. By making you more aware that there's fuck all you can do. Fuck all you can really do to get warm.
At least if I stay still, I can pretend to myself I have the power to make myself warm by just moving around or switching the fire on. The trick is to be as still as possible. It's easier than dragging yourself across the flare to switch that fucking fire on. Somebody else is in the room with us. It's Spud, I think. It's hard to tell in the dark.
Spud. Spud. He says nothing. It's really fucking cold, man.
Spud, if indeed it is a cunt, still says nothing. He could be dead, but probably no, because I think his eyes are open. But that means fuck all. Chapter 14. Grieving and Mourning in Port Sunshine. Lenny looked at his cards, then scrutinised the expressions on his friends' faces.
"Who's Hudden? Billy, come on then, you cunt."
Billy showed Lenny his hand.
"Two fucking aces! Spawny bastard! You spawny fucking cunt, Renton!"
Lenny slammed his fist into his palm.
"Just geez that fucking loot out here," Billy Renton said,
raking up the pile of notes that lay in the centre of the floor.
"Naz, chuck us a can over then," Lenny asked.
When the can was thrown over, he missed his catch and it hit the floor. He opened it and much of its contents gushed over Peasbo.
"Monty, fuck you, dos cunt."
"Sorry, Peasbo, it's that cunt," Lenny laughed as he pointed at Naz. "I says to you, umty chuck us a can over, no to fling it at my fucking head."
Lenny rose and went to the window.
"Still no sign of the cunt?" Naz asked. "The game's fucked without the big money."
"No, the cunt's patter's fucking rotten," Lenny said.
"Give the cunt a bell. Find out what the fucking story is," Billy suggested.
"Aye, right."
Lenny went into the lobby and dialed Phil Grant's number. He was upset at playing for this Toy Town stake. He would have been well up by now if Granty had shown up with the money. The phone just rang.
"Nae cunt's in. Or if they are, they aren't the answer in the fucking phone," he told them. "I hope the fucker hasn't absconded with the fucking loot," Peasbo laughed.
But it was an uneasy laugh, the first open acknowledgement of a collective unspoken fear.
"Better know if. Can he stick a cunt that rips off his mates?" Lenny snarled.
"When you think about it, though, it's Granty's poppy. He can spend it on what he likes," Jackie said.
They looked at him with bemused belligerence. Eventually Lenny spoke.
"Away you fucking go. In a way, though, the cunt won it fair and square. I came what we agreed, build up a big kitty with the club money to add a bit of spice to the cared games, then divvy up. I ken all that. All I'm saying is that in the eyes of the law, Jackie explained his position, it's all your poppy, Lenny snapped. Granny kens a fucking Hampden roar. I ken that. All I'm saying is that in the eyes of the law, shut your fucking mouth, you stirring cunt, Billy interjected. We're no talking about the eyes of the fucking law here. We're talking about mates. If it was up to the eyes of the fucking law, you'd have no furniture in your house, you gippo cunt.
Lenny nodded approvingly at Billy.
We're jumping to fucking conclusions here. Might be a perfectly good reason as to why the cunt isn't here. Maybe he's got held up, Naz suggested, his pockmarked face taut and tense.
Maybe some cunt's mugged the cunt and taken the poppy, Jackie said.
Nay cunt would try to mug Granny. He's the kind of cunt that mugs cunts, no gets mugged for them. If he comes in here pulling a stunt like that, I'll tell him where to fucking go.
Lenny was in a state of some anxiety. This was the club money they were talking about.
Just saying that it's daft to be carrying that type of cash around, that's all I'm saying, Jackie stated.
He was a little frightened of Lenny. Granty had not missed a Thursday night card session in 6 years, unless he was on holiday. He was the reliable linchpin of the school. Lenny and Jackie had both missed periods through doing time for assault and housebreaking, respectively. The club money, the holiday money, had been a remnant of the time they had all gone to Lorette de Mar on holiday together, as teenagers. Now older, they generally went in smaller groups, or with wives or girlfriends. The strange mixing up of the card money and the club money occurred a couple of years ago when they were drunk. Peasbo, then the treasurer, jokingly threw in a wad of the club money as his stake. They played with it for a laugh. They liked the feel of playing with all that money, got such a buzz from it, that they divvied it up and played pretend games with it. Whenever they decided that they were into serious saving, they would stop playing cards for real money and play for club money. It was just like playing for Monopoly money. There were times, particularly when someone won the entire pot, like Granty last week, that the bizarre and dangerous nature of their actions crossed their mind. They were mates, though, and it was generally assumed that they would never do the dirty on each other. However, logic as well as loyalty underpinned this assumption. They all had ties in the area and could never leave it for good, and not for just the £2,000 in the kitty. Leaving the area was what it would mean if one ripped off the rest. They told themselves this over and over again. The real fear was theft. The money was more secure in a bank. It had been a silly indulgence gone mad, a collective insanity. The next morning there's still no sign of Granty, and Lenny was late signing on.
Mr. Lister, you only live around the corner from this office and you only have to sign on once every fortnight. It's hardly an excessive demand, Gavin Temperley, the clerk, told him in pompous tones. I understand the position of your fucking office, Mr. Temperley, but I'm sure that you'll take into consideration that I'm a fucking busy man with several flourishing enterprises to look after.
Shite, Lenny. Lazy cunt that you are. I'll see you in the Crown. I'm on first lunch. Be there at the back of 12.
Aye, you'll need to give us a bun though, Gav. I'm fucking brassic until this rent check hits the mat in the morning.
No problem.
Lenny went down to the pub and sat at the bar with his daily record and a pint of lager. He considered lighting a cigarette, then decided against it. It was 11:04, and he'd had 12 fags already. It was always the same when he was forced to rise in the morning. He smoked far too many fags. He could cut down by staying in bed, so he generally didn't get up until 2 p.m. These government cunts were determined, he thought, to wreck both his health and finances by forcing him up so early. The back pages of the record were full of Rangers Celtic shite, as usual. Soon as spies on some fucker in the English second division, McNeil says Celt's confidence is coming back. Nothing about Hearts. No, a wee bit about Jimmy Sanderson, with the same quote twice and the short passage finishing in mid-sentence. There's also a small space on why Miller of Hibs still thinks he's the best man for the job when they've only scored 3 goals in the last 30 games or something like that. Lenny turned to page 3. He preferred the scantily clad women the record featured to the topless ones in the sun. You had to have some imagination. From the corner of his eye, he spotted Colin Dalgleish.
Coke, he said, without looking up from his paper.
Coke pushed up a bar stool alongside Lenny's. He ordered a pint of heavy.
Heard the news? Fucking sad, eh? Eh? Granny? You didn't hear?
Coke looked straight at Lenny.
No, what? Deed? Potted heed? You're joking. Eh? Give's a fucking break, you cunt. Jane up. Last night, likes. What the fuck happened?
Ticker. Boom. Coke snapped his fingers.
Dodgy hurt, apparently. Nae cunt kent about it. Per Granty was working with Pete Gilligan, on the side, likes he. It was just about 5, and Granty was helping Pete tidy up, ready to shoot the craw in that, likes, when he just hods his chest and couts our. Gilly gets an ambulance, and they take the per cunt to the hospital, but he dies a couple of years later. Per Granty. Good cunt or no? You play games with a guy, eh?
Aye. One of the nicest cunts you could hope to meet. That's gutted us, that has.
A few hours later, Lenny was guttered as well as gutted. He'd tapped 20 quid off Gav Temperley for the sole purpose of getting rat-arsed. When Peasbo entered the pub late afternoon, Lenny was slurring into the ear of a sympathetic barmaid and an embarrassed and sober-looking guy in a boiler suit with a tenant's lager logo on it.
One of the nicest fucking cunts you could hope to meet.
All right, Lenny. I heard the news.
Peasbo grabbed one of Lenny's broad shoulders heavily, a firm grip, to ensure that one of his mates was still there, and to make a partial assessment of his level of drunkenness.
Peasbo, aye. Still can't he fucking believe it. One of the nicest cunts you could hope to meet or not.
He turned slowly back to the barmaid and refocused his gaze on her. With his thumb protruding from a clenched fist, he then pointed over his shoulder at Peasbo.
This cunt'll tell you, hey Peasbo? See Granny? One of the nicest cunts any cunt could ever hope to meet. Hey Peasbo? Granny? Eh? Hey. Aye. It's a real shock. I still can't believe it, man. That's it. One day the boys here now were never going to see the pear cunt again. 27-year-old? The game's no straight. I'll tell you that for fuck all. The game's no straight. Sure as fucking no.
Granty was 29, was he no? Peasbo quizzed.
27, 29, who gives a fuck? Just a young boy. It's his burden, that wee bairn I feel sorry for. You get some of the old cunts.
Lenny gestured angrily over to the corner across to a group of old guys playing dominoes.
They've had their lives. Long fucking lives. All they do is moan like fuck. Granty never complained about fuck all. One of the nicest cunts you could hope to meet.
He then noted 3 younger guys, known as Spud, Tommy and Second Prize, sitting across the other side of the pub.
And they fucking junky mates of Billy's bra, they cunts, all fucking dying AIDS, killing themselves. Serves the cunts right. Granty fucking valued life. They cunts are flinging theirs away.
Lenny glowered over at them, but they were too into their own conversation to notice him.
Come on now, Lenny, keep the heed. They cunt saying nout against they cunt. They boys are all right. That's Danny Murphy, harmless cunt. Tommy Lawrence, you ken Tommy. And that guy Rab McLaughlin, he used to be a good football player. Man United he went doon to. They boys are sound. Fuck's sake, they're mates of that mate of yours. The boy that works for the Dole, what's his name, Gav? Aye. These old cunts.
Conceding the point, Lenny switched his attention back over to the other side of the room.
Ah, come on, Lenny, fuck it. Harmless cunts, no bothering anybody. Down that pint, and we'll go round for Naz. I'll bell Billy and Jackie.
The mood was gloomy round at Naz's flat in Buchanan Street. They had turned away from the issue of Granty's death onto the subject of the outstanding cash.
The Friday before Divvy Day and the cunt fucking snuffs it. 1,800 he was huddin'. Split six ways, that's 300 each, Billy moaned.
No much we can do about it, Jackie ventured. Like fuck there isn't he.
That dough gets divvied every fucking year the fortnight before trades.
I've booked Benidorm on the strength of that. I'm fucking brassic without it. Sheila'll have my boss for a game of pool if I cancel out. Nae fucking why, man, Naz declared.
Too fucking right. I feel sorry for Fiona and the bairn and that, obviously.
Any cunt would. Goes without saying, likes. Bottom line is, it's your fucking poppy, no hers, Billy said.
It's your ain fucking fault. I knew something like this would happen, Jackie shrugged.
The doorbell went. In came Lenny and Peasbo.
Sorry for you, you cunt. You're fucking flush, Naz challenged.
Jackie didn't respond. He picked up a can of lager from the pile Peasbo had dumped on the floor.
Fucking terrible news, eh, boys? Peasbo said as Lenny morosely slupped on his can.
One of the nicest cunts you could hope to meet, Lenny said.
Naz was grateful for Lenny's intervention. He was ready to commiserate about the money when he realised that Peasbo had been referring to Granty.
I ken you shouldn't be selfish at a time like this, but there's the question of the poppy to sort out. Divvy Day's next week. I've got a holiday to book. I need the hires, Billy said.
Some cunt you, Billy, eh? Can we no fucking wait until the pair cunt's still no warm before we go on about all that shite? Lenny sneered.
Fiona might blow the fucking lot. She'll no ken it's your dosh if nae cunt tells her. She'll be gone through his fucking things, and it'll be, aye, aye, what's this? Nearly 2 grand. Tidy. Then she'll be off to the fucking Caribbean or somewhere while we're sitting in the fucking links with a couple of bottles of cider for the trades.
Your pa's fucking abysmal, Billy, Lenny told him.
Peasbo looked gravely at Lenny, who could feel a betrayal coming on.
Hate to say it, Lenny, but Billy's no far wrong. Granty didn't he exactly keep Fiona in the lap of luxury, great cunt as he was, like say. I mean, didn't he get us wrong? I'd never hear a word said against the cunt. But you find 2 grand in your house, you spend first and ask questions after.
You would. I'm fucking sure I would. Every cunt would, if the fucking truth be told.
Oh, aye? We's asking her for it, then. Fucked if I'm gonny, Lenny hissed.
We all will. It's all your poppy, Billy said.
Right, after the funeral, on Tuesday, Naz suggested.
All right, Peasbo agreed.
Aye, Jackie shrugged.
Lenny nodded in a weary compliance. It was, he conceded, their poppy. Tuesday came and went. Nobody could work up the bottle to say anything at the funeral. They all got drunk and offered more laments to Granty. The cash issue was never mentioned until late on. They met with evil hangovers the following afternoon and went to Fiona's place. Nobody answered the door.
Probably Steinar Maz, Lenny said.
The woman from the flat across the landing, a grey-haired lady in a blue print dress, came out.
Fiona left this morning, boys. Canary Islands left the bairn at her ma's.
She seemed to enjoy breaking the news.
Tidy, Billy muttered.
That's that, then, Jackie said with a shrug, which was a bit too smug for the liking of most of his friends. No much we can do about it. He was then stunned by a blow to the side of his face, delivered by Billy, which knocked him over and sent him sprawling down the stairs. He managed to break his fall by grabbing the banister and looked up at Billy in horror from the bend in the stair. The rest of them were almost as shocked as Jackie by Billy's actions.
Easy, Billy!
Lenny grabbed Billy's arm, but kept his gaze on his face. He was anxious and intrigued to find out the source of his outrage.
You're out of order. It's no Jackie's fault.
Oh, is it no? I kept my fucking gob shut, but this smart cunt's pushed us far enough.
He pointed at the still prostrate figure of Jackie, whose rapidly swelling face had gained a new furtiveness.
"What's the fucking score here?" Naz asked.
Billy ignored them and looked straight at Jackie.
"How long's it been going on, Jackie?"
"What's the cunt going on about?"
Jackie said, but his watery voice lacked assurance.
Canary Island's my fucking hole. Where are you meeting Fiona?
You're fucking tapped, Billy. You heard what the wifey says?
Jackie shook his head. Fiona's my Sharon's fucking sister. You think I go around with my fucking ears shut? How long have you been fucking poking her, Jackie?
That was a fucking one-off.
Billy's outrage filled the stair, and he could feel it growing, swelling in the breasts of the others. He stood over Jackie like a booming Old Testament god, scorning him in his judgment. One off my hole. And ways to fucking say that Granty didn't ken. Ways to say it wasn't that killed him. His so-called best fucking mate shafting his bird.
Lenny looked at Jackie, shaking with anger. He then looked at the others, their eyes blazing. An unspoken contract was forged between them in a split second. Jackie's screams reverberated around the stairwell as they booted and dragged him from landing to landing. He vainly tried to protect himself and, through his fear and pain, hoped that there would be something left of him to move out of Leith when the ordeal was over. Part 3. Kicking Again. Chapter 15. Into Shitty.
Oh, yeah, can't you? My heed's fucking nipping this morning, I can fucking tell you. I make straight for the fucking fridge, yes. Two bottles of Beck's, that'll do me. I down the cunts in double quick time. I feel better right away. Have to fucking watch the time, but...
She's still fucking sleeping when I go back in the bedroom. Look at her. Lazy fat cunt. Just cos she's having a fucking bairn, thinks it gives her the right to lie around all fucking day. Anyway, that's another fucking story. So, I get fucking packing. That cunt had better have washed my fucking jeans. The 501s. Where's the fucking 501s? There they are. Just as well for her. She's waking up now.
Frank, what are you doing? Where are you gone?
She says to us. I'm out of here. Fucking sharpish, I says, no looking round.
Where the fuck's these soaks? Everything takes twice as fucking long when you're hung over, and I can dee without this cunt nipping my fucking head.
Where are you gone? Where?
I tell you, I've got to fucking Nash. Me and Lexo pulled a bit of business off. I'm saying nae mair on the fucking subject, but it's best I disappear for a couple of weeks. Any police cunts come to the door, you've no seen us for yonks. You think I'm on the fucking rigs, right? You've no seen us, mind?
But where are you gone, Frank? Where are you fucking well gone?
That's for me to ken and you to find out. What you dinny fucking well ken, they canny fucking well beat you out of here, I says.
Then the fucking boot gets up and starts fucking screaming at us. Seeing that I can't just fucking go like that.
I punches it in the fucking mouth and boots it in the fucking fanny, and the cunt falls to the floor moaning away. It's her fucking fault. I've told the cunt that that's what happens when any cunt talks to us like that. That's the fucking rules of the game. Take it or fucking leave it.
The bairn, the bairn, she screams. I just goes, the bairn, the bairn,
back at her likes. Shut your fucking mouth about the fucking bairn. She's just lying there, screaming like some fucking tube. It's probably no even my fucking bairn anyway. Besides, I've had bairns before, with other lassies. I ken what it's all about. She thinks it's all gonna be fucking great when the bairn comes, but she's in for a fucking shock. I can tell you all about fucking bairns, pain in the fucking arse. Shaving gear, that's what I fucking need. Kent, there was something. She's still gone on about how she's all sair and to get the fucking doctor and all that. I've no fucking time for that shite, but I'm fucking late as it is thanks to that cunt. Got to fucking Nash. Frank! She shouts as I get out of the fucking door. I was thinking to myself, it's like the fucking advert for Harp Lager. Time for a sharp exit. That was me all right. It was fucking stowed out down the pub, early fucking doors and all. Renton, the red-headed cunt, pops the fucking black ball to take the game for Matty. Rab, put my fucking name up for the pool then. What's every cunt fucking wanting? I get up to the bar.
Rab, the second prize, as we call the cunt. He's got a fucking stuttery an eye. Some fucking liberty taker's been on the cunt's case. Rab, where the fuck did this to you?
Oh, a couple of guys up Loch End, Ken, I was bevied. The cunt looks at us, all fucking sheepish-like.
Got names?
No, but don't worry, I'll get the cunts, man, it's all sorted out.
Be sure you fucking do. Do you ken the cunts?
No, by sight-like.
When me and Rents get back from fucking London, we'll go up to fucking Loch End.
Dozzy got filled in up there a wee bit back.
There's some questions need fucking answering, sure there fucking is. I turns to Rents.
What's that, my man?
Rearing to go, Franco.
I racks up and slaughters a cunt, leaving a fucker two bars off being grannied. You might be able to fucking handle the likes of Matty and Sex, but when Hurricane Franco gets on the fucking table, you can forget it. You red-headed cunt, I tells him.
Pools for arseholes, man, he says. Humpty cunt. Everything that red-headed cunt's shite at's for arseholes, according to that cunt. We've got to be moving, so there's no sense in playing any more. I looks over to Matty and pulls out a wad. Hey, Matty, ken what this is? I waves the notes at the cunt.
Aye, he says. I points to the bar. Ken what that is?
Aye. The bar. The cunt's slow, too fucking slow. And I ken how.
Ken what this is?
I points to my pint.
Aye. Well, didn't he make us fucking spell it out for you then, you cunt? Pinty fucking special and a Jack Daniels and Coke then, cunt.
He comes over and says to us, Frank, I'm a wee bit short, Ken.
I ken how, all right. Maybe you'll fucking grow, I says.
The cunt takes the hint and hits the bar. He's fucking using again. That's if the cunt ever really stopped in the first fucking place. When I get back from London, I'll need to have another wee word in this cunt's ear. Fucking junkies. A waste of fucking space. Rents is still clean, though. You can tell by the way he's tanning the bevy. I'm looking forward to this London break. Rents has got his mate's flat, that Tony cunt, and his bird, the Shag, for a couple of weeks. They're on holiday somewhere. I ken a couple of boys down there for the jail. I'll look the cunts up, for old time's sake. That Lorraine serving Matty, she's a fucking wee ride. I goes over to the bar. Hi, Lorraine. Come here now. I pushes her hair back at the side of her face and pits my fingers behind her ears. Birds like that. Erogenous fucking zones and all that. You can tell whether or no somebody's had sex last night by feeling behind their ears. The heat, Ken, I explains. She just laughs, and so does Matty.
No, but it's fucking scientific and all that, Ken.
Some cunts are fucking clueless.
Has Lorraine had sex last night then? Matty asks.
The wee cunt looks fucking offy, like death warmed up.
That's your secret, eh, doll? I says to her.
I've got a feeling that she's got the hots for us, cos she aye goes that fucking quiet shy way when I fucking talk to her. Once I get back from London, I'll fucking move in there pretty fucking sharpish and all, you cunts. Fucked if I'm gonna stay with that fucking June after the bairn's here, and that cunt Steed, if she's made us hurt that fucking bairn. Ever since she's been having that bairn, she thinks she can get fucking lippy with us. Nae cunt gets fucking lippy with me, bairn or nae fucking bairn. She kens that. And she still gets fucking smart. See if anything's happened to that fucking bairn.
Hey, Franco,
Rent says. We'd better be moving. We've got that carry out to organise, mind.
Aye, right.
What you getting?
Bottle of voddy and a few cans.
Might have guessed. Hates a fucking voddy, that red-headed cunt. I'm getting a bottle of JD and 8 cans of export. I might get Lorraine to fill up a couple of draft packs and all.
That'll be a couple of draft packs getting well filled up on the train gone down, he says.
Sometimes I didn't understand that cunt's sense of humour. Me and Rents go back a long fucking way, but it's like the cunt's changed. And I'm no just talking about the drugs and that shite. It's like he's got his ways and I've got mine's.
Still, a great cunt though, the red-headed bastard.
So, I gets the draft packs, one fully spesh for me, and one fully lager for that red-headed cunt. We gets the carry out and jumps a Joe Baxi up the toon and down a quick pint of that pub in the station. I gets cracking to this cunt of the bar, boy fee Fife. I kent the cunt's bar in Sockton. Not a bad gadge, as I remember.
Harmless cunt likes.
The London train's fucking mobbed. This really gets my fucking goat, this. I mean, you pay all that fucking dosh for a ticket, they British Rail cunts are nae fucking shy, and then there's nae fucking seats. Fuck that.
We're struggling with the cans and bottles. My carriot's about to bust out the fucking bag.
It's all the cunts with backpacks and luggage, and Bairns fucking go-karts. Shouldn't you have Bairns on the fucking train?
Fucking mob, man, Rent says.
The fucking trouble is, all the cunts that have booked seats. It's no so bad booking for Edinburgh to London, capital fucking cities and that. But it's all the cunts that have booked for Berwick and all the fucking places. The train shouldn't stop in all the places. It should just be Edinburgh to London, end of fucking story. If I had my fucking way, that'd be it, I can fucking tell you.
Some cunts are looking at us. I speak my fucking mind, whatever any cunt says.
All the booked seats, fucking liberty, so it is. It should be first fucking come, first fucking served. All this booking seats shite. I'll give the cunts booking fucking seats.
Rents sits down beside the two birds, fucking tidy and all. Good fucking choice by the red-headed cunt.
These seats are free till Darlington, he says. I grabs the reservation cards and sticks them in my tail. They're fucking free the whole way down now.
I'll give the cunts booking, I says, smiling at one of the birds.
Too fucking right and all.
40 quid a fucking ticket. No shy the British Rail cunts, I can fucking tell you.
Rents just shrugs his shoulders.
Suppose he cunts got that green baseball cap on.
That's gone out the fucking windy if the cunt fucking falls asleep, I can fucking tell you.
Rents is tanning the body. And we're just near Portobello when the cunt's already made a big fucking dent in it.
Hates a body, that red-headed cunt.
Well, if that's the way the cunt fucking wants to play it, I grabs the JD and swigs it back. Here we go, here we go, here we go, I says. That cunt just smiles. He keeps looking out at the birds. They're like, say, American, Ken.
Problem with that red-headed cunt is that he's no got the gift of the gab as far as birds go, likes. Even if the cunt does have a certain style. No, like, say, me and Sick Boy. Maybe it's with him having bras instead of sisters. He just can't really fucking relate to birds.
You waiting that cunt to make the first fucking move, you'll be waiting a long fucking time.
I fucking shows the red-headed cunt how it's done.
No fucking shy, they British Rail cunts, eh? I says, nudging the bird next to us.
Pardon, it says to us, sort of sounding like, pardon, Ken.
Where's it yous come for then?
Sorry, I can't really understand you.
These foreign cunts have got trouble with the Queen's fucking English, Ken. You have to speak louder, slower, and like say mere posh for the cunts to understand you.
Where do you come from?
That does the fucking trick. These nosy cunts in front of us look round. I stares back at the cunts. Some fucker's on a bust mouth before the end of this fucking journey. I can see that now.
We're from Toronto, Canada.
Toronto? That was the Lone Rangers, mate, was it? No, I says.
The birds just look at us. Some punters didn't fucking understand the Scottish sense of humour.
Where are you from? The other bird says.
Perry rides and all. That red-headed cunt made a good fucking move sitting here, I can tell you.
Edinburgh, Rents goes, trying to sound all fucking posh again.
Fucking smarmy red-headed cunt. He's already to steam in now. Oh, Joe fucking cool, once Franco breaks a fucking ice.
These birds are gone on to us about how fucking beautiful Edinburgh is and how lovely the fucking castle is on the hill out of the gardens and all that shite. That's all the tourist cunts ken, though. The castle and Prince's Street and the High Street. Like when Moni's auntie came over for that wee village on that island off the west coast of Ireland with all her bairns. The wifey goes up to the council for a hoose. The council says to her, where's it you want to fucking stay like? The woman says, I want a hoose in Prince's Street looking onto the castle.
This wifey's fucking scoobied, like, speaks that fucking Gaelic as a first language, doesn't even ken that much English.
Per cunt just liked the look of the street when she came off the train. Thought the whole fucking place was like that.
The cunts of the council just laugh and stick the cunt in one of the hotline jobs in West Granton.
that nae cunt else wants. Instead of a view of the castle, she's got a view of the gasworks. That's how it fucking works in real life if you're nae a rich cunt with a big fucking hoose and plenty poppy. Anyway, they birds take a wee bevy with us, and rents his pretty steamboats, cos I'm feeling it and all, and I can drink that red-headed cunt under the fucking table any fucking day of the week. Mind you, I was on the pish last night with Lexo, after we pulled that job at the jewellers at Kirstorfin. That explains how I feel that fucking pished now. What I really fancy now, though, is a game of cards. Get the cards out, Rents. Never brought any, he says. I didn't fucking believe that cunt. Last thing I fucking says to him the other night was, mind the fucking cards. I tell you to mind the fucking cards, you dos cunt. What was the last fucking thing I says to you the other night, eh? Mind the fucking cards. Just forgot, the cunt goes. I bet the red-headed cunts forgot they fucking cards on purpose. It's fucking boring without cards after a bit. That fucking boring cunt starts reading a fucking book. Bad fucking manners. Then him and this Canadian bird, they're both sort of students-like, start talking about all the fucking books they've read. It's getting on my fucking tits. We're supposed to be doing here for a fucking laugh, not to talk about fucking books and all that fucking shite. See, if it was up to me, I'd get every fucking book and put them on a great big fucking pile and burn the fucking lot. All books are for is for smart cunts to show off about how much shite they've fucking read. You get all you fucking need to ken out of the paper and for the telly. Posing cunts. I'll give them fucking books. We stop at Darlington and these cunts get on, checking their tickets against our seat numbers. The train's still fucking stowed, so they cunts are fucked for a seat. Excuse me, these are our seats. We booked them, this cunt says, flashing a ticket in front of us. I'm afraid there must be some mistake, Rent says. The red-headed cunt can be quite fucking stylish, I have to give him that. He's got style. There were no cards to indicate a seat reservation when we boarded the train at Edinburgh. But we've got the reserved tickets here, this cunt with the John Lennon spec says. Well, I can only suggest that you pursue your complaint with a member of the British Rail staff. My friend and I took these seats in good faith. I'm afraid we can't be held responsible for any errors made by British Rail. Thank you and good night, he says, starting to laugh, the red-headed cunt that he is. I was, like, too busy enjoying the cunt's performance to tell the cunts to get to fuck. I fucking hate hassle, but this John Lennon cunt'll no be telt. We have tickets here. That's proof that these are our seats, the cunt says. That's it. Hey, you, I says. Aye, you, lippy cunt. He turns round. I stands up. You heard what the gad says. On your fucking bike, you specky Raj. Come on, move it. I points down the fucking train. Come on, Clive, his mate says. The cunts fuck off, just as fucking well for them. So I thought that was end of fucking story, but no. These cunts come back with this ticket gadge. The ticket boy. You can see the cunt doesn't he really give a fuck. The pair cunt's just doing his job. Starts going on about it being they cunt seats, but I just tells the boy straight. I'm no fucking caring what they cunts have got on their fucking tickets, mate. There was nae fucking reservation notices on they fucking seats when we fucking sat down in them. We're no fucking moving now. That's all there is to it. You charge enough for your fucking tickets, make sure there's a fucking sign up the next time. Somebody must have taken it down, he says, this cunt'll deign out. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't, that's no my fucking business. Like I says, the seats were free, and I was right fucking in there. End of fucking story. The ticket boy just gets into an argument with eight cunts after telling them that there's nout he can fucking do. I just leave them to it. They're threatening to complain about the guy, and he's getting stroppy back. One cunt in the seat in front's looking round again. You got a fucking problem, mate, I shouts out. The cunt gets a beamer and turns round. Shitin' cunt. Rents falls asleep. The red-headed cunt's pished out his fucking skull. His draft pack's half empty, and most of the cans have been tanned. I take his draft pack to the bogs with us, empties a bit out, and fills it up to the same level with my pish. That's what the cunt gets for forgetting the fucking cards. There's about two parts lager, one part pish in it. I gets back and slips it into place. The cunt's fast asleep. So's one of the birds. The other's got her fucking heed into that book. Two rides.
Dinna ken whether I'd rather shag the big fucking blonde piece or the dark-headed in the maist. I wakes up that red-headed cunt at Peterborough. Come on, Ren.